it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, it's on. Look, it's on.
Oh, it's on.
It is so on.
Pull up a chair, grab a cold one, smoke them if you got them. It's time for the Fan Happy Hour.
On the Fan Sports Network, 105.1 and 1080. The Fan.
Here's your host, Luke Anderson.
Hey, happy Monday during football season. Oh, man, does it feel good. We got a full weekend of college football. We got a full weekend of the NFL. And now we have a full show sheet, more than enough things to talk about to fill the entire week. But by the time we get to midweek, we're going to be talking about this coming weekend. Boy, it is fantastic. Let's check in with the most important man, Jeff Rust. What is going on over there, man?
My belly is full of football.
Your belly is full of football. Did you eat one?
Yeah.
You're not supposed to do that.
No,
you did it wrong.
Oh, well.
What are you
going to do?
Yeah, hey, you tried your best.
I thought it was like chicharrones or something, right?
No, I don't think it's the same thing at all. But
different.
What are you going to do? What are you going to do?
I deep fried it.
Yeah. How did you enjoy your football weekend? Like, what was your setup? Because I did a couple different things. My Saturday, very different than my Sunday. Mm-hmm. But I wanted to see how you took in the first week of what will be a long and fantastic football season.
Well, by the time I got home after leaving my shift here doing the old Ducks pregame, because I usually leave right at kickoff. So
yeah.
It was already 14-0 when I got home.
That's all it was. Yeah. I was actually going to guess that it might have been more.
Yeah.
That must have been
it didn't take long to
a quick drive.
To get another third one on there, but yeah. sat down and plopped my butt on the old living room couch there and watched that game. And then Sunday morning woke up and I actually watched like most of Steelers Jets.
Oh,
which I did not have on my bingo card.
Yeah,
I thought I was going to turn on the old red zone and just let it take me where it takes me. But yeah, no, I watched a lot of Steelers Jets.
Let me ask you a question, Steelers Jets. Did it feel like, and this is kind of the sense that I got, I watched a fair amount of it. So what we did on Sunday was we had everybody over. My wife is a 49ers fan. I am a Seahawks fan. Our daughters have each taken sides in that battle. So typically when they play, we'll have my entire family over, which is all Seahawks fans. So just to make it, as lopsided as we possibly can, because the house is pretty evenly divided. But the difference is my wife doesn't really care about watching the game nearly as much as having the 49ers win, which obviously she was very happy.
Yes.
But everybody else wants to sit down and watch a game. So we look at it as a little bit of a holiday around our house.
Mm-hmm.
So I was kind of getting ready for everybody to come over and, just kept getting pulled in by Steelers Jets.
Yeah.
Is it possible that both teams are in a better spot with Aaron Rodgers obviously being in Pittsburgh, looked pretty good.
Yeah.
Justin Fields didn't look bad for the Jets.
He didn't.
It was kind of a fun game to watch.
Yeah, I mean, are we seeing a little bit of a resurrection here for both of them?
Yeah,
are they both like not bad, actually?
Yeah, that was kind of the feeling that I have. And Robert Saleh felt right at home being back in San Francisco as a defensive coordinator because he never looked comfortable as a head coach. Like, every once in a while, you get these win-win scenarios.
Yeah, where this works out for everybody.
Yeah, Mike Tomlin needed a quarterback. He's been continuing to have winning seasons and been, making playoffs and doing whatever, but he needs a guy that has, a couple rodeos left, and you got Aaron Rodgers out there and he's trying to be vindictive as he possibly can, beating the Jets. The Jets needed a fresh restart, and I mean, they kind of a quarterback swap there of sorts.
Mm-hmm.
And it looked like it was better. It looked like it was better for everybody involved.
Yeah, it's rare you get one of those win-wins.
Yeah, well, it was definitely a good way to start things off. And that was the only game on local broadcast television,
Correct. Just
the CBS game early. So if you wanted to watch something different, there was no really other option unless you've got the big package where I can watch all the football games.
Well, I've got a big package, but it's not that.
Hey-o! I see what you did there. I see what you did there, you clever rascal. Before we get too far into the show, I wanted to do an update on the pick'em. So everything will be settled after tonight's Monday night game. Mm-hmm. So if you've been playing along at home
with, am I winning?
With the Pick'em, you are not.
Oh, darn.
You are, right now I've got you with 10 of the 15 games correct that okay. have finished. So doing pretty good. Better than me. I've got 8.
Gotcha.
I'm not doing the worst.
Right.
We've
That's
got
better than my Powerball ticket.
You didn't win.
No.
Well, you showed up.
I got
morning.
All excited when
that.
I saw the headline yesterday morning. It said 2 Oregonians made millionaires in the Powerball jackpot. And I was like, whoa. And I went and I got out my ticket and all excited going up and scanned it. And it said not a winning ticket.
And they know where the winner is before the winner knows where the winner is.
Probably.
Yeah. I never know how that works. Yeah. Like you don't have to turn in the ticket or they know if it got sold or.
Oh, you know, all those different barcodes and all that stuff on there. Yeah. They know exactly where it was sold.
Well, I'm sorry you didn't win.
Trust me too.
Yeah. Well, anyways, glad that you're here, but yeah, sorry you didn't win. Actually right now we've got 2 Odyssey employees.
Ooh.
That are tied for the lead.
Tell me it's not Kurt after missing the first.
It's Kurt.
God bless America.
Can I tell you who else it is?
Who?
Who filled it out on Friday morning?
Oh, I forget. Who did it?
It's Patrick Harris.
Oh,
so
man.
So right now, if Kurt Sons or Patrick are listening, they are right now. And I wiped out the Eagles pick, as you know. So Kurt was like 25 minutes late. And I just told him. I said, listen.
Yeah.
You got to get in before you do Kim. This on top. I wasn't even watching. Don't care.
Yeah.
Fill it out on time or you don't get it.
Exactly.
He and P. Harris and also previous winner Nathan are all in the lead with 12 wins. Nathan and Kurt both have the Bears winning tonight.
Ooh.
So it'll come down to points. Patrick has the Minnesota Vikings.
Ooh.
So something to watch. Very, very exciting stuff. The second half of my football weekend. So hosting everybody on Sunday was a good time. We all it's an enjoyable enough game. There's enough things going wrong for the Seahawks that it wasn't the most enjoyable game that I've ever watched.
Yeah.
Boy, that offense did not look like it was the revolution that everybody hoped it would be after week 2 of the preseason. Sam Darnold still has tiny hands, and if you bump that hand, the ball will fall out, and it will land in the hands of the other team. The defense looked really good. But, you know, the offense for the 49ers looked like it had a little luck left in it and just chucking the ball up. And Reek Wolin looked like he's not really going to guard people, just show how fast he is for no reason other than to show that he's fast.
Because
as a rookie, he was making interceptions. And now he's just kind of watching guys catch the ball next to him. Like, cool, you have 4.2 speed. Use it!
Yeah, right?
You idiot. So a couple big plays down the stretch. 49ers win. That was less than positive.
Yeah.
But great having everybody over. We had a really nice time. The weather was lovely, so we got to, you know, watch the kids hang out in the backyard while we got to drink beer and play some cards after the game.
Yeah.
Lovely time.
Yeah.
The other half of my football weekend was, at the last minute, found out there was some extra tickets available to the Ducks game.
Ooh.
My kids have never been down to Autzen Stadium. I also used to work Saturdays during the fall, so I wouldn't always, you know, kind of want to set up and do the Sinner and the Saint, then jump on the highway and head down.
Right.
We got a very early start.
Listening to my award-winning traffic and weather updates every 10 minutes.
Absolutely. so we left about 6 a.m., went down there because the Beavs were playing at the same time. So we went and got the very early start down at Autzen to watch the Ducks take on the Cowboys. My brother and sister-in-law, Oregon grad, her and my brother used to have season tickets. So they've got kind of their setup. I go, tell you what, looks like I can get you a ticket. You drive, you take care of all of the details. Tell me when to be, where to be, and we'll be there. He's like, I'll pick you up at 6 a.m. I'm like, let's go.
Perfect.
So we took the girls down, and we got there early enough to set up for a little bit of tailgating, grabbed a beer, went over to check out the new 1080 The Fan setup. So
right on.
If you are listening to this and you've not been down to the games in the last couple years, or you go to the games often, we used to be inside the ticketed area with now 105.1 The Fan, but 1080 The Fan was in the Moe Center, which is in past the ticket gate.
Right.
So you'd have to get your ticket, then go say, hi. The show's like two and a half hours before the game, depending on what kick time is. People didn't really want to do that. They didn't want to leave the tailgates. Well, now we've moved. We're closer to PK Park, which is fantastic. So I'm like, you know what? I'll go over and say hi to those guys. And so I see Dirt and I see Dusty and they're happy to see me. And they give me kind of the hey, getting your early beer in. Anthony Newman, I think he was being a little judgy.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, he looks up at me, looks at the Rainier that I have in my hand at 8:30 in the morning, immediately checks his watch.
They're doo-doo.
Just judged me and my brother first thing in the morning. Then we had the conversation, you know, I had beers that we bought at the grocery store, 50 cents outside of the stadium, and they're $6 inside. And I think he came around to our way of thinking, but his immediate response, his immediate response was clear judgment. And then, boy, I will tell you, Autzen Stadium, if you have not made it down there, the game, did you see any part of the game? It was not competitive.
No, it was over pretty quick.
It was a bit of might call a whooping.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Three plays, two touchdowns for the Ducks on offense, three and outs galore for the Oklahoma State Cowboys. They just got boat raced in epic proportion.
Mm-hmm.
But I will tell you, the entertainment value of going, if you have kids and going down there, Autzen really does put on a production. I mean, they have a duck coming out in a, are you... You have daughters, Labubu?
I think my daughter, my 8-year-old, for the first time the other day, she brought up that she wanted a Labubu, and I'm like, I don't understand.
So do you now know what that is?
Barely. Is it some kind of a stuffy or something?
Yeah, like a monster one, something. Right. Anyway, the duck came out dressed up like that. My 2 8-year-olds were absolutely eating that up. They loved all of the music, the scoreboard. I don't think they got the tie-in when they started playing Money Talks as the procession for the game is. So I just want to say it was an absolute blast. Mm-hmm. And just for future, you know, I mean, a lot of times these non-conference games don't get the biggest attendance. School's not back in for whatever reason.
Right.
Going to Autzen in September, too. The weather, absolutely perfect.
Yes.
Great time. And, boy, that game couldn't have gone much better for the home team.
Well, I don't know. They could have. They could, you know, they didn't put up a goose egg in the fourth quarter.
Yes. Actually, that's a fair point. We need to talk to them. Yeah, we're a little concerned about that. I mean, they were on pace for 100.
Yeah.
They had 500 yards at halftime.
Yes.
And then they just really pulled their foot off the gas.
Yes. Which is kind of amazing because you felt like, look, man, they had a little extra fire in their belly, a little extra motivation after old Gundy and his comments.
Well, the nice thing about them not scoring in the fourth quarter is they kind of wrapped it up a little bit quicker. So when you're sitting there and ready to hit the road, the traffic much worse going home. And we even stopped and hung out. We had my sister-in-law has some family down there, so we hung out with them for a little bit, hoping that we could kind of get on the road a little bit later and miss some of the traffic, but that was not great. But I don't blame anybody. Again, if I'm in charge of college football, we don't put Oregon State and Oregon home games at the same time,
right?
On the same day. Yeah. That was
a genius idea, bit of
an oversight. Let's do some jokes. All right, we just mentioned it. Oregon put the largest beatdown on Oklahoma State since 1907.
Wow.
1907, the worst loss was recorded a week before Oklahoma became a state.
Yikes.
That was a loss to Oklahoma when literally it was a territory that was the end of the Trail of Tears. I mean, come on. That is true. That is a long time. 1907. They've been playing college football. The fact that they're playing before it's an actual state.
Yeah.
The university is Oklahoma State. I don't know how that works.
I'm sure that probably wasn't the
original
name.
I don't know what
they
were called then. Yes, I know. I didn't. I'm not doing that much research.
Probably an Oklahoma A&M or something.
Yeah. Well, even if it was called Oklahoma, who knows? Anyways, Russell Wilson and the New York Giants had their debut, and it didn't go according to plan. Some people described it as dreadful. Others said underwhelming, contributing to a 21-6 loss against the Washington Commanders. His individual performance, Russell Wilson was 17 of 37 for 168, no touchdowns, no interceptions. Meanwhile, somewhere Nathaniel Hackett was heard saying, "I wish he played that well for me." Coach Brian Daboll stated that Wilson will remain the starter in week 2, emphasizing that the collective team performance and coaching need to improve, not just Wilson's play. In other words, sure, we could put in rookie Jackson Dart, but we're still going to suck. All right. Cam Ward didn't have a great debut. The rookie number one overall pick is a good reminder that being the number one overall pick is usually an opportunity to play for the worst team in football. It's like, imagine if this happened in other professions where you finish top of your class at Harvard Law and you get to go work for Judge Judy. It's kind of... All right. Finally, the Pittsburgh Steelers had a nice debut with Aaron Rodgers. He acknowledged added satisfaction in beating the New York Jets. He said, "I was happy to beat everyone associated with the Jets," noting that there were probably people in the organization that didn't think I could play anymore, adding, "I'm excited to be a Steeler, continue play winning football, and carrying on as a crazy person." That's it. That's all I got.
Is there anybody who it seems like their Cheerios are more often peed in than Aaron Rodgers?
No, he refused to talk about it. They go, "Oh, is there any added pressure with the playing the Jets in this week?" He's like, "Oh, no. I'm not even thinking of him. I'm not thinking of him." Immediately after a win, he's like, "Take that, Jets. I hate you."
Yeah, exactly.
Just, he is, that guy, he's just a lunatic. Even watching his, like, mannerism, the way that he plays,
yeah.
Like, he's up and down. I don't know what people look like when they're on ayahuasca, but I don't know. That guy, it's...
insufferable just doesn't even start to describe it.
Well, it starts. That's about as far as it goes. All right, we get to the Daily Buzz. We do it next. It's Happy Hour on 105.1 The Fan.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Top headlines, trending topics, and trivial matters that got our attention. It's the Daily Buzz on the Fan Happy Hour.
The Buzz.
The Buzz.
The Buzz.
Here's your host, Luke Anderson.
After a rough start to the series, Seattle Mariners end up putting up 28 runs combined on Saturday and Sunday, and they end up winning 2-3 the series over the Atlanta Braves this weekend. It was just an onslaught of runs yesterday. If you go back and look at kind of where the big moments were in the game, one of the things that we've talked about on this show, and I think anytime you talk about Mariners fans, one of the things about this year that's been so exciting, obviously, is Cal Raleigh. Now up to 53 home runs. That is fantastic. You make the big trades to get both Josh Naylor and Gino Suarez at the trade deadline. A lot of injuries with the pitching staff. You want everybody to get healthy around the same time. One of the things that we've talked about, but I don't think got enough attention until this weekend, just a reminder, Julio Rodriguez almost every year goes on one of these absolute heaters where he's the guy and he looks like the most talented player, maybe not just on the Mariners, but in baseball. And he was the guy that every time they needed a big hit this weekend, and I know that it felt like that game was out of hand pretty early yesterday and they were just kind of adding on to it. Mm. But when the games were close, Julio Rodriguez hitting big home runs and looking really, really good. So is this a sign that the Mariners are turning things around? Not necessarily. They have to play St. Louis at home. Then they have the Angels. They've been good at home. So even if they go on a little bit of a run here and they can beat St. Louis in that series, they can beat the Angels in the next series, I think all that's fantastic. They go on the road again,
yes.
And this is where things get real interesting, is starting on Tuesday the 16th, so a day and a week from now, they are going to Kansas City. And just to catch everybody up where the Mariners sit in the standings, the Mariners right now are 2.5 games back of the Astros in the division, and they are only
game and a half
ahead of the Rangers, who are playing the Astros right now.
Mm-hmm.
So you're in that position where you're rooting for the Rangers to win against the Astros because they're playing each other.
Right.
But they're only 2 games ahead of the Royals, who they'll have to play head-to-head. After they play the Royals, the Mariners will go to Houston. So that is their final road trip of the year. Then they come home. They have the Rockies. Seems like an easy one.
Should be.
Then they have the Dodgers to finish things out. Yeah. And the question by the time you get to the end of the year is not necessarily if they are better than the Dodgers, but it's if the Dodgers will be playing anything when they go to the Mariners to finish up the season. Oh, hand out. That's your Mariners update. You happy with that one?
It just gets me every time.
Well, I hope that
I do
does.
Like that one.
All right. Buzz. Courtney Cronin, 34 minutes ago, was on Twitter and said that several members of the field crew at Soldier Field are on the turf right now surveying and placing sand and seed mix in areas that need to be filled in on the playing surface. The field was resodded after a stretch of 5 concerts at the end of August. Tonight, they play a football game there.
Yeah. Boy, if only this game were like on a calendar or a schedule of some sort.
If only had it been planned in advance. So the Chicago Bears hosting the Minnesota Vikings tonight to wrap up week one. And they are trying to figure out what to do with the playing surface. I have a hunch that they should have thought about this earlier.
It's like the guy woke up today and went, oh, holy crap, I forgot to check the turf.
This is a game that is featuring two young quarterbacks that the NFL is hoping will turn into stars. One is coming off of a rookie season where he was out the entire time with an injury, and the other one is their home quarterback in Caleb Williams. So I'm not forecasting anything, but I just hope that we don't have any of these slip and fall moments or somebody's foot getting caught in the turf. Because the weird thing about this, the timing of a trip that I made to Chicago a couple years ago, it was the same week that the Bears purchased Arlington Park. Arlington Park is an old racetrack. They bought it as a potential site for a replacement for Soldier Field. Soldier Field is a very weird stadium. It's a new stadium built inside of an old stadium. But one of the strangest things about it isn't the way that it's architecturally designed. It isn't necessarily that they don't want to get rid of the old historic site and they'll build this new one inside of it. It's that the Chicago Parks and Rec, the people that do the turf along Lake Michigan at any of the public parks around the area, they're the same ones that do the turf for Soldier Field. And that's one of the big negotiating points with keeping the Bears in the city limits, is trying to figure out a better way to manage the turf at Soldier Field. So this one could be really ugly, but something worth keeping an eye on. So Courtney Cronin, Chicago local, reporting right now. Yes, sand and seed being placed here, what, 2 hours before kickoff?
We're still about 3 hours.
Oh, I'm sorry, 3 hours, 3 hours before cook-off, yeah. Kickoff. How's your confidence level in what the Bears are doing?
Well, at least they're not. At least it's not the grounds crew on the field, like playing on the field.
Well, that's yeah. Fair enough. All right. The Buzz. Worst quarterback performances rated over week one. Tua Tagovailoa was the worst rated quarterback, followed by Bo Nix of the Denver Broncos, Jared Goff of the Detroit Lions, Bryce Young of the Carolina Panthers, and Cam Ward of the Titans. Cam Ward, I'm okay with. He's a rookie. It's his first start, mm-hmm. And you go out there and you play against the Denver Broncos defense that is ferocious. They're picked to be a Super Bowl outsider because of their defense, but a little troublesome that you're playing against a bad football team and you're Bo Nix. You get the win, and you're still ranked really poorly.
Yeah.
The other one that scares you a little bit, Jared Goff. You've got a new offensive coordinator. You're trying to kind of rebuild the coaching staff around Dan Campbell.
Mm-hmm.
Played against a Packers team that has been good the last few years. They had Micah Parsons, who gets a sack in the game. But Jared Goff did not look good.
I did not see that kind of a whooping coming.
Yeah, no, neither did I. The other two, is this a make it or break it year for Tua? I think that one's pretty obvious that it is. The other one's Bryce Young. This is year three as a starting quarterback with them. So, listen, it's overreaction Monday. I totally understand. It's week one, so you're going to see things. But Bryce Young was undersized, underweight. He doesn't have that durability. He's not as much of a runner as a guy at, 5'3" like you get with Kyler Murray. So I'm wondering when you start to mash the panic button if you're a Carolina Panthers fan. You, of course, are a Jaguars fan. So yes, you, of course, are pushing no buttons because you're perfectly happy with what you're seeing.
Yeah. Well, Trevor Lawrence didn't look great yesterday, but, you know, a W is a W.
Enough to win, but he didn't look terrible yesterday.
Yeah.
Again, somebody coming out and knocking off the rust, a guy that was injured and beat up at the end of last
new
year,
coach, getting off new season system.
Surgery. Acceptable.
Yeah.
He's not also on this list, so.
There we go.
They're all subjective.
Yeah.
Totally get it.
Absolutely.
Things to worry about. And finally, Rex Ryan was pretty adamant that he thinks the Jaguars are doing things incorrectly with one Travis Hunter. Travis Hunter played primarily on offense yesterday. The Jaguars have said that they want to see him play both sides of the ball. Travis Hunter even said after the game that he expects to do more as the season goes on and expects to play both sides of the ball. Rex Ryan's warning was, if you try to play this guy on both sides, all you're going to do is make an average player on both sides of the ball. Would you rather have a superstar corner, a superstar wide receiver, or an average guy that can play both sides and get you an extra roster spot? So there's the warning. How much of that game did you watch?
None of that. Yeah. I think that what we said there with that last note, though, is I think that you really can't undersell, though, that extra roster
really?
Spot.
Okay.
And how important that is.
All right.
But, you know, I'm not saying that's the make it or break it argument of it, but roster spots are valuable. They're important.
Well, I don't disagree with that, but at the same time, if you have a chance to have a shutdown corner or a game-breaking wide receiver, those guys are pretty important, too.
Yes, they absolutely
are. Versus having a pretty good third receiver and a decent nickel corner. Be interesting to see what happens. I don't, with the ball skills that he has, if you turn him into a Richard Sherman or a Darrell Revis or pick your guy.
Right.
That seems pretty compelling to me. But having a superstar wide receiver out there with a quarterback that is maybe on one of those make it or break it years can be interesting too. So we will see what happens with that. But right now we need to walk over to the George McCoy cloppity cloppity clop at George at Warren Allen Sports Desk to see what we missed.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Monday on the Fan Happy Hour with Luke Anderson. This is the Tape Don't Lie. Where Luke answers for the dumbest things he said last week.
Wasn't he the white Jordan?
He is black.
Good luck, man.
Thank you. I'm a genius.
Both of these teams have, I think, over the last few years, tried to build for December and January football. They both want to be able to go outside, play in inclement weather. I mean, this game's in Buffalo, but it's going to be on September 7th in the evening, so it should be an absolutely lovely day to kick off the final season of their old stadium. But no, I don't think it's going to give us a whole lot of feel for how the end of the season goes. Both of these teams have been incredibly good in the regular season. Then they get to the playoffs, and they can't figure out the puzzle that is the Kansas City Chiefs. September games don't matter.
Alrighty, Luke. That was you saying the Sunday night game between the Bills and the Ravens doesn't matter because it was being played in September. You want to make a little edit there or anything?
That was awesome. That game was so good. And didn't it just transport you right into the rematch that you'll get at the end of the season?
Right?
I mean, holy cow.
Instant
classic for sure. Even when the Ravens had a 2-touchdown lead, it didn't feel safe.
250 yards in the fourth quarter for Josh Allen.
First time ever that a team had 40-plus points and 235 yards on the ground and lost, and Josh Allen just doing Josh Allen things. And yes, I would like to apologize to everybody involved in that game, including fans that are smacking Ravens and chucking bottles and doing whatever. That game mattered very much to the Buffalo crowd. The one caveat I'll put to that is if you were stupid enough to leave that game, why go to a live game if you're not going to stay till the end?
Right.
We didn't leave the Ducks game, and they were on their way to 100.
And especially if it's a primetime game like that. You
every
know?
Once in a while, something amazing happens. And if you had a ticket to said amazing thing, there are a lot of people lying at the water cooler in Buffalo today going, oh, yeah, we stayed till the end. Of course we did. Why would we? Could you imagine how stupid we'd have to be to leave?
Honey, it's getting late. I got to work in the morning. Woo!
That was good stuff.
Yeah, I have a hard time not picking the Chiefs. They win close games like nobody's business, and the Chargers still have that hurdle to jump where they haven't quite been able to figure it out. I know it's Jim Harbaugh, it's a new regime, and it's all of that, but it's one of those teams very much like the New England Patriots in the Tom Brady era. I'm not going to pick against them until I see them start losing, and Chiefs and Andy Reid, Pat Mahomes, they kind of haven't figured it out.
Luke.
Yeah.
There you are picking the Chiefs over the Chargers, which, I mean, look, you, the vast majority of people did. You certainly weren't alone there. Is this a nice little win for the Chargers, or are we looking at kind of maybe a changing of the guard in the old AFC West?
I'm kind of rooting for a changing of the guard. I will say that final dash that is made by Justin Herbert and the slide and the confidence and the take that, you son of a gun, attitude was just fantastic. But there was a comment in the middle of the game that I either heard or hallucinated that has stuck with me. And I remember hearing a comment along the lines of Jim Harbaugh woke up from a fever dream and just realized that his job is to make sure that Justin Herbert gets into the Hall of Fame.
Locked, cocked, ready to rock.
And if I heard that correctly, that is the best coaching comment that I've ever heard.
Absolutely.
I mean, the Harbaughs, I think, have proven that, you know, they come from a coaching tree that started with their dad or possibly grandfather, or maybe Harbaughs were built to coach football.
Mm-hmm. He's a guardian of victory.
But Jim Harbaugh has never won a Super Bowl. He famously lost to his brother. He now has a national championship. If you don't feel like he has all the pieces in place in Los Angeles to win with the quarterback, with the defense, with the everything that they've got, that game was really, really entertaining. And it's early, but I kind of feel like if there's still room on the Chargers bandwagon, just make a little room for one of my cheeks.
Yeah, I'm not quite ready to write off the Chiefs yet.
Yeah, I'm not two cheeks in.
Yeah,
only one cheek.
All right.
Let's go Michael Penix Jr. I think he takes care of things.
Lookity Luke.
Yeah, bud.
That was you very flippantly picking Michael Penix and the Falcons to continue their win streak over the Buccaneers. Sure, you were wrong about the winner, but it ended up being a pretty good game. Should you have given the matchup maybe a little bit more thought?
They're still in a division that I don't really care about. Mm-hmm. But yeah, they ended up being a really good game. Baker Mayfield, I think, is one of those guys that we need to probably start giving more credit to. Mm-hmm. But I still have a hard time finding myself believing in whoever comes out of that division. Yeah. Penix did play well. Mm-hmm. He was good in that game, and it came down to a few critical plays. So, yeah, I probably should have put a little bit more thought into that game. But the other two teams in that division, I don't need anything to do with Saints or Panthers. Right. So,
well, yeah, to quote Anthony Newman again, their doo-doo.
Yeah, I would agree with that. But we'll see if they can convince me that winning that division matters as you go into the playoffs. But nice little start for the Buccaneers, getting a nice win over a team that looks like they'll probably be better this year with Michael Penix than they were with Kirk Cousins last year.
So the Giants seem to be getting a little bit of enthusiasm around it. My question in my own brain is whether or not Russell Wilson still has some magic left in his noodle arm and can go and get the ball to Malik Nabers and company and just chuck it down the field. Uh-huh. The Commanders, I think they're going to be one of those teams that likes the smell of their own farts, where they did so much last year that they're going to go in and really love their home cooking. Love what they've got.
Everybody loves their own bread.
Yeah, everybody loves it. And so I'm going to take the Giants for an upset in week one at Washington.
Well, Luke ass, this may be your dumbest pick of the week.
Yeah.
Did you overvalue the Giants or undervalue the Commies?
I think I overvalued the Giants. Yeah. I mean, that feels like a pretty strong estimate of where I was at. If we watch the Giants play like that the rest of the year, we'll be seeing Jackson Dart pretty quickly, mm-hmm. I would guess. Russell Wilson completed 45% of his passes.
It wasn't good, bad. It was like 17 to 37.
It was real bad. Yeah. And you always have to give credit to the team that makes somebody look bad. But it feels like Russell Wilson and Daybald and everybody in New York is going to have to be looking, you know, just looking at their resumes and giving a little bit of a polish. You've got a rookie quarterback there that, you know, may be the savior. But if you have to turn to him too early, then it makes it really difficult for a team to win in his first year, especially when he's going to get a new offensive coordinator, a new quarterback, a new GM, in the second year. So
yeah,
the recipe is not looking good, but maybe Washington is for real and just made them look really bad. But it feels like I way overvalued the Giants.
My favorite, because I think tonight's going to be a bloodbath. See, I never know what to do with these games where I really don't want the Eagles to win. They're the defending Super Bowl champions. I don't have much love for Nick Sirianni or the whole push regime that lives in the city of brotherly love. So I would very much like to see the Cowboys. Would it be better for me to pick the team that I want to win or actually think's going to win? Because let's be honest, this is probably the Eagles, and it's probably bad. But you know what? I'm going to do it. Let's go, Cowboys.
El Lucarino.
Yeah, but
that painful clip. Talking yourself into picking the Cowboys. Despite the Loogiegate ejection of one of the Eagles' best defensive line players, the Cowboys still couldn't get the W, but they didn't look terrible. Do the Cowboys get a win this weekend at home against the Giants?
The perfect timing, ESPN is showing a little recap of Russell Wilson being terrible.
Mr. And, Unlimited.
And he has been announced as the Week 2 starter.
Which is funny, because wasn't it just yesterday where Brian Daboll said, I'm not committing to a starter for Week 2 yet?
Yet, here we are. Yeah. At least that's what I saw. So unless he changes his mind, it's going to be bad for the Giants for the foreseeable future. Mm-hmm. And I didn't think the Cowboys looked that bad. It wasn't the most elegantly played game on either side, obviously with the injections, a lot of scrapping, but the Cowboys offense looked like it could move the ball. The defense looked like, outside of trying to stop Jalen Hurts, put him in some uncomfortable downs and distances. So I will say that a close game against the Eagles forecasts a whooping on the Giants.
Alrighty. Yeah.
All right.
Works for me.
Well, that's all of it. We'll do one more for the road. We'll do it next. This is the Fan Happy Hour on 105.1 and the Fan Sports Network.
Relax, hot shots.
Welcome back to the Fan Happy Hour. We're about to wrap things up.
Maybe you guys like what I have so far.
Wicked woman, cool crimson mistress. You got a cool spell on me.
Let's grab one more for the road.
Come on, everybody. Everything's smooth.
Here's Luke Anderson.
All right, Rusty Bottoms, what are people saying?
Greg Andrew over on the YouTube chat. Don't you hate pants?
Well, yeah, of course.
I don't know who that's directed at, but
yeah, well, I mean, everybody hates pants.
I mean, I
but
prefer to
you know
not
what?
Wear them.
Society but has asked us to cover up certain parts, and, you know, whether it's shorts or pants, I mean, we'd all rather be free.
I am today wearing
we?
Pants for the first time in months.
Oh, I didn't even notice that.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I don't think I've seen you. Have I seen you standing up? Maybe. Yeah,
maybe.
I don't know. Well, yeah. Yeah,
I did see one of my favorite welcome mats I've ever seen, though, too, in my life. It says, give us a minute. I'm probably not wearing pants.
That is pretty good.
Yeah.
That is delightful.
And then on the old text line, Peanut Buster Parfait.
There, well,
Dairy Queen.
I'm aware of what it's referencing. Yeah. I'm trying to think if I've ever. It's a.
I don't think I've ever had one.
I don't think I have either.
Yeah.
Peanut Buster Parfait.
Yeah. I mean, that's a classic. That's maybe old school.
If they're only 85 cents, wouldn't we be missing an opportunity? And we have to get two.
Well, remember, it's only the Blizzard.
Oh, is that? That's a whole different thing.
Yes. So that was in regarding our, you know, favorite.
See, I don't even know what. I can't even picture what a Peanut Buster Parfait would look like.
Well, it's got peanuts.
Okay.
And it comes in one of them plastic cups. I believe it's a little layered. So, well, which that's where the parfait part comes from.
Yeah.
I can't remember, though, if it's like hot fudge or if it's like a peanut butter syrup topping type thing. I don't remember.
I'm no expert on it, but thank you, text line. We'll have to go and check that out.
One for the road.
It is Monday. It is football season. We have Monday Night Football for the first time all year. Let's go. I'm looking at the pick'em, Mr. Rust. You and I both have the Minnesota Vikings after what has transpired over the weekend. Do you want to change your pick? Are you still happy with the Vikings? You feeling confident? How's your brain registering with what decisions you made last week?
No, I'm not confident in it at all, but I will.
I wasn't confident to start. Why would I be confident now?
Right. But I'm going to stick with the Vikings.
All right.
I think, you know, we might have a situation there in Chicago again with the Caleb Williams year two, but year one in a new system under a new head coach and new OC. And although at least this year, he's probably going to have coaches watching film with him. So that's a good start.
You would think that's a good start too. Yeah, absolutely. Well, it's funny because you've got a little bit more experience under the belt of Caleb Williams as a player.
Yes.
You have JJ McCarthy, who has not played, but he's been in the system for 2 years.
Correct.
So you got Kevin O'Connell running things, offensive-minded head coach.
Mm-hmm.
The thing that
and
puts
look what he did for Sam Darnold last year.
That's well, look at this. So you've got two guys that did not play particularly well this weekend. Sam Darnold played okay, but then has a fumble that loses the game ultimately in the deciding moments of the Seahawks 49ers game. They end up losing because Tiny Hand Sam drops the ball. And then you have Jared Goff, whose career resurgence can be attributed to Ben Johnson as much as anybody, comes over. What gets me in all of this is, even though you have a little bit more experience with Caleb Williams as a quarterback, I think the edge goes to JJ McCarthy. Sitting and learning, injured or not, I think gives you a big advantage. And the advantage that Kevin O'Connell has is he's already established as a head coach. Ben Johnson, even if he is a quarterback whisperer, has a brand new job. He has come over, and yes, he's an offensive-minded head coach, and yes, his job is to help Caleb Williams get to where he needs to be. There's a lot of things to think about besides just your quarterback, just your passing offense, and how it can help this guy develop. So I think there's a lot more on the plate for the Bears. So I will also stick with my pick of the Minnesota Vikings, and I have them winning pretty easily in this game. I think the team's just better. I know that they went and improved the offensive line to help Caleb Williams, who was sacked more than anybody ever, but dude likes to hold on to the football, so even the best offensive line isn't helped by a quarterback that doesn't get rid of it quickly, and I think that is a habit, because I remember watching him at USC and go, that's not a strategy that's going to translate to the NFL, so if he keeps doing that, I don't care how good your line is, let's go Vikings.
And real quick, while not at the NFL level, but the collegiate level, look at how much Dante Moore learned from sitting and learning for a year.
Well, Bo Nix got the ball out of his hands faster than anybody, and he translated to the NFL pretty well. So there you have it. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Thank you, Jeff Rust. And as always, thank you, Isaac Rob. We are done for now. Bye-bye.
Forget about your scene. Give the audience a grin. Enjoy it. It's your last chance anyhow.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.